Welcome into WEEI Afternoons on a Thursday afternoon as we head into a season-defining, dare I say, season-altering showdown between the New York Yankees and your Boston Red Sox. Four games at Yankee Stadium in New York, which could decide the fate of your local baseball team.
The universe.
I don't know about the universe, but the baseball universe here in Boston, because you're starting to kind of scuffle a little bit. The Yankees are starting to take off a little bit. And, oh, by the way, we're in August, where there are plenty, I can tell you, plenty of doubters on the text line and in this town that wonder, oh, are Alex Cora's Red Sox going to do the same old August thing and fall on their faces and fall out of the playoffs?
Yeah, I've seen this movie before. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So I don't know if it's pressure, but you know, you're a major leaguer. There's always pressure every night. You know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. I would advise the Boston Red Sox to treat these four games like a sprint, not a marathon, to get to the finish line on Sunday with worst case scenario, two wins. Best case scenario, obviously, four wins. A sweep would be massive. What you can't do, you can't lose the series. You can't lose this series after what you've just done in the stretch against the Marlins and the O's. And what the Yankees are doing, they've won five in a row. They look healthy. They look like they might hit a gazillion .5 home runs over the rest of the season. 14 in the last two games. And
wait, how many?
14. Yeah, 14.
That was in a series. That was over two games.
Two games. 14, tied a record. 14 home runs. I believe they set a record for back-to-back games with multiple players hitting multiple home runs or some SID number. They're raking. They're crushing the ball. I said it earlier, Giancarlo Stanton looks like he's turned the clock back a few years, not just with his power, but hitting for average. Obviously, Aaron Judge is back healthy and crushing the ball again. And then you have the Red Sox, who are fresh off, as you like to say, Fitzy, not one, not two, but three bases-loaded situations to win a baseball game where they could not score a run. They went 0-for-13 with runners in scoring positions. So to say,
that's not good.
To say that these two teams bring very different and polarizing momentum into this series would be an understatement. So therefore, Fitzy, I'm optimistic about the series for one simple reason, as I just told Mego in the crossover. When you go to the RMV and you have a great experience, not a good experience, a great experience.
You trying to get them to sponsor afternoons or something?
I would take the RMV. I don't know if they sponsor things, but if the RMV down in New Bedford wants to sponsor afternoons on WEEI, happy to do a deal with you guys. Window number 8 lady, you were absolutely awesome helping me.
Didn't catch a name on that one?
I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't
just
ask.
Just window 8,
very nice woman.
Patty, Diane, Leslie.
Whatever, something.
Hey, you got right down to business. I can't fault you for that.
In and out. It was an in and out situation. And
a lot of people have said that about Andy.
I am thankful about that. So that gives me an optimism for the rest of the day. And I'm going to choose to take that into tonight's game between Lucas Giolito, who we learned the other day, Fitzy, is a massive human being when we saw him in person.
Haas unit. Super bro, X-Man, whatever you want to call him, just an absolute specimen. And also a good-natured guy with a broadcast-quality voice, plus fastball, and a Star Wars fan.
Yeah, a dork, too. I think he may be lining up for a future dork pod appearance with our buddy Rich Keefe. But yeah, I'm choosing to bring optimism into this series, Fitzy. What is your mental, emotional state as you embark on these four games down in New York?
Anxiety, my resting state, generally most of my waking days in the midlife, anxiety. I'm very, very anxious because, as I referenced yesterday, I can remember many Augusts prior where the Red Sox were playing well-ish, but teetering on a possible breakdown, if not complete and utter meltdown. And it was a long series against the Yankees that was the deciding factor. Back to 2006, it was a five-game series. Dan, how many of those games did the Red Sox win in that fateful five-game series back in 2006?
You know, en route to a 9-21 month of August, they won 0 of those 5.
0. They needed to win like 2 to kind of sort of keep their heads above water, Andy, but they couldn't. You can't be headed in more opposite, polarizingly opposite directions with the Red Sox losing a head-scratching three games in a row, health in the balance, players getting DFA'd, guys getting called up that are hardly impact bats. You've got a fatigued bullpen. You got starters that have not necessarily been lighting the world on fire since the dog days of summer. I'm a little anxious. But listen, once again, split the series. You take the season from the Yankees so that if it comes down to some sort of tiebreaker or deciding factor for who gets home field, and the Red Sox are a significantly better home team than road team this year, then, yeah, you got to split this series. But I'm very anxious that the Yankees are looking for payback now that it's 5-1 Red Sox on the season. Wouldn't they just love to bury the Red Sox this weekend and all those freaking, you know who I'm talking about, people in right field.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed offensive, but whatever. We'll go with it.
I'm fine with it.
It's rivalry
it's okay.
week.
They can call. It's rivalry week. Yeah, oh, Yankees.
We'll also get into, by the way, it's Boston versus New York on multiple sports fields
it's a
tonight.
Big day, yeah.
Because the Patriots will close out the preseason against Jackson Dart and the Giants down in New York. So
he'll make this game watchable tonight because I, for one, am very intrigued to get a firsthand glimpse at the future of New York. They might be football Giants and see if this kid is going to turn that offense out because they got some playmakers down there. And if that kid's that kid who shares a name with someone in your family that likes to play football is any good, might be a little something going on down there with Dayball and company.
He's a fun player, and certainly, as I said in the crossover with Mego, a lot of guys fighting for jobs and careers tonight, even if you're not going to be overly excited about the top of the roster and the names you see out there. There's going to be passionate football being played for four quarters as guys do their best to either stick around with the teams they're on now or, as the players will tell you, get it on tape and hope that somebody will claim them or sign them down the road. But for the Red Sox and the Yankees, does it ease your anxiety, Fitzy, if I tell you the good news is the Red Sox got their best four pitchers going in this series, closed out by Dustin May, who...
Chapman and Whitlock are starting?
No. I'm talking about their best four starting pitchers, Fitzy.
Oh, sorry.
They'll probably need those guys to help them win
several
some
times.
Of these games as
yeah,
well.
Some high, very high leverage situations, yes.
And I did want to touch on something you've referenced along the course of the season, sort of a running joke line slash actually did take place. Ramon Vasquez, when he had his multiple couple stints there because Alex Cora was at a graduation and then was ejected as the manager, and he managed like it was October, and he managed like every inning mattered, like every game mattered. Do you think that is how the Red Sox will and or should manage these games? Have we reached that point where forget about Sunday, you need to win Thursday. Forget about Saturday, you need to win Friday, where you manage to win the game at hand and then worry about the next day the next day?
If Alex Cora and the Red Sox don't manage every game like they need to win that night's game and there's no game tomorrow, then I think they would be doing a disservice to their team, to their fan base, and most importantly, to their postseason chances. There, how many times? Oh, we'll get them next time. Like, there's been a little bit of a, we got a lot of baseball games left over. We'll get them tomorrow mentality to the season. Again, it's 162 games, but the Red Sox, they're 9 games over 500, and they do have like what, a game and a half or 2 games up over Kansas City for the final wild card spot. Okay, good, but that can go away real quick. 1 4-game sweep at the hands of the Yanks and another team can just be nipping at your heels, tied with you, and they will not have the stink of a sweep at the hands of the Yanks, nor that reverse momentum, the wrong kind of momentum. You need to try to, you got to do everything you can. And you have to hope that, you know, Cooper Criswell, who we've sadly learned is now going on the IL in Worcester because of elbow inflammation, he's not coming to the rescue anytime soon. You're going to have to lean on Richard Fitz. All right, whatever you're going to do, call up some of the guys. I don't care. Do anything you have to do. You need to take a Vasquezian approach to each and every one of these games, for sure. It's blank cutting time, guy.
And as much as we say the Red Sox are 5-1 against the Yankees this year, because they are, they're 5-1, and have scored 35 runs, so you know almost 6 runs a game. The over might be a strong consideration when you consider they've also given up 27 runs in those.
It's not
six
a massive
games.
Differential.
So you're looking at potential 5-4 games or 6-4 type games, which I think everybody would take at this point in time. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking in the back room, Dan Ball and I, about the Yankees and what they look like on paper versus what you look like on paper. Because obviously the Yankees, when you say Judge, Stanton, Bellinger, like they have some talent on that roster that is, you know, in the midst of very impressive long careers, right? You know, MVP caliber talent. And the Red Sox don't have as much of that. Like you're looking at either the youth movement or some of these guys that have platooned their way at various points into the year being key cogs on this roster. But I also think the Yankees at their best are better than the Red Sox. I just don't know how often the Yankees are at their best, right? They invested in that bullpen and it immediately imploded coming out of the trade deadline. Like, I think the Yankees, we talk about the home field advantage that the Red Sox have. I think the Yankees have a home field advantage. They're good at home. I also think there's a New Yorkian angst where sometimes there's this weird negative pressure on the Yankees in the Bronx. And I think you need to pounce on that. You need to not only bring your own energy, but try to create an environment where Yankees fans are like, wait a minute, are we going to keep losing to the Red Sox? Are we going to not do what we're supposed to be this year? Because we
are
keep...
they our daddies?
Right. And I think you need to pounce. I think this is a huge series for certainly don't do the crap where you give up three runs in the first inning. And how about we pounce on somebody and try to put some crooked numbers up early? Because I think these games, the emotion and the energy of these games is going to be decided very early on.
Oh, wait, I like this. Go on with this. That the Red Sox can... They certainly can't just like... emotionally bank on the idea like, hey, we're 5-1 against these guys. Relax. We'll pull out of this three-game tailspin where we lost game after game after game to losing teams that we were favored to beat in said three games and struck out a bazillion times and squandered multiple opportunities to come out on top and really entrench ourselves as a wild card team. I hope the Red Sox aren't just banking on prior success. I hope they're just thinking about the here and the now, as in we have a great opportunity to level off the series against the Yanks, to get the upper hand for wild card standing, and to just pull out of this tailspin. Just forget about what happened. It was awful. It was ugly. We are coming off the worst loss of the season for the Red Sox, and they had a day off, and you gave Rafaela a mental rest day. Now it's time for him to wake up and start hitting again. Now it's time for Jaron Duran to take advantage of that short porch and right and stop yapping at mouthy fans behind home plate. Now it's time for Trevor Story to take a pitch in the clutch when a guy is wild and see if you can work a count in your favor. These are some of the things the Red Sox are going to have to do. Patience, Andy. I know it's hard. You want to pounce. I get it. Be patient, because the Yankees are the better team right now. They're playing better baseball, but they're not seismically better than the Red Sox.
617-779-7937. How are you feeling about the Red Sox and the Yankees and this four-game series that certainly could have massive ramifications in the AL East and the wild card standings? And that was actually my topic of the day for the poll, the show poll at Jumbo Heart at WEEI Afternoons. I asked a simple question. How many games do you have faith in the Red Sox winning this weekend in a critical four-game series with the Yankees? The options, Fitzy, because, again, they limit you to only four options. This is a poll where I needed a fifth box of options. But
or a three-game series.
Or a three-game series, yes. Sure. But for this four-game series, I said zero or one games. So you get swept, or maybe you just steal one. Two games, three games, or four games. Fitzy, what do you think is leading right now in terms of the confidence level, faith of Red Sox Nation? How many games are going to be won in this series?
There seems to be more confidence online than not. I'm going to go with two games, but not like by a ton.
Two games, 52% of fans believe the Red Sox, they have faith that the Red Sox will win two games. More optimistic than I expected, coming off, as you said, maybe the worst loss of the season, maybe the worst series of the season. Horrific little stretch here recently. Second is three games. No. Second is zero or one, which is at 21%. That's actually had an uptick. And then three games is 19%, and only 8% think they're going to sweep the Yankees. But I will take
those 8% drinking. Jeez.
Optimistically, 52%, you add it, that's 71%. 79% think they're either going to split or win the series. That surprises me. That's a relatively optimistic view for August coming out of that O's series under Alex Cora against the Yankees on the road. Should also throw that in there. Boston Red Sox, 41-25 at home. On the road, they're 27-34. So you going on the road, and yet Red Sox fans seem to have confidence. What do you think that comes from?
I honestly blind faith because
beer.
They're 5-1 against booze,
beef eaters,
Hendrix, Tito's. We don't judge. I think it's just because they've been the better team against them this year, and people are probably I would bet the large part of Red Sox Nation that listen online here to the Red Sox radio network probably haven't caught up on the fact that the Yankees are on fuego. Right about now, they're probably thinking, yeah, I saw them after the trade deadline. They couldn't get their ass out of their bullpen. They stink. No, they're playing good baseball right now. And what would make the Yankees feel better about themselves, not only heading towards the postseason, but potentially even challenging the Blue Jays for the seat that they occupied for close to half the season, that being the Catbird, first place in the AL East, than by stomping the Red Sox? I mean, this could be a nice little series to get us back into the is New York and Boston a thing again, because it really hasn't felt that way for a while.
We do mention the power of late for the Yankees and the little surge they're on. They've won 5 games in a row, 8-2 in their last 10. But we did have one texter, the 207, said, pump the brakes on the 14 home runs. They played at a, quote, field, unquote, that plays like more of a bandbox than even their own little wiffle ball field. 89-mile-an-hour exit velocity? Was getting out of their hard hit, ? So, yeah, they were at Steinbrenner Field playing the Rays, which I did hear, I think it was Lou Maloney raving about how much a better experience it is playing the Rays down at Steinbrenner Field with 10,000 people there. It's like an actual baseball environment and crowd.
Oh,
but, yes,
God.
they played at a spring training minor league facility and hit 14 home runs. But if you want to poo-poo the power of Judge and Stanton,
whatever,
feel free. I am not going to poo-poo the power. I am going to focus on the fact that those two guys are two of the more prolific power hitters of the last generation who can absolutely scare people. And I don't know that you can say the Red Sox pitching staff scares anyone other than Crochet. Is that fair to say?
He doesn't scare the Yankees, even though he had, I would say, his best pitching outing of the season was against the Rays, right? The game leading right up to... the All-Star break, but there was that Friday night. The Red Sox ended up winning 2-1. Don't forget, dominated Judge all game long. I think he'd only given up a handful of hits tops. Looked like he's going for a complete game shutout. And then in the ninth inning, Aaron Judge hit one to Alston.
Yeah, Aaron Judge is good. We may do a little snake draft later. We were talking about this pre-show where we do the NBA style matchup series draft and pick players from each team to kind of figure out who has the advantage. I don't want to give anything away because I don't even know who's picking or who has the first pick. Pretty sure Aaron Judge would be the number one overall pick if you picked a player in this series and he wears pinstripes.
You're right.
You never know. I mean, I guess we could talk ourselves into... Yes, Dan Ball.
So who's number two? I want to know from Fitzy, because we were discussing this in the back. Who's the second pick in that hypothetical draft?
Oh, who's the second pick in a Yankees-Red Sox snake draft?
Yeah.
Oh, easy. Garrett Crochet.
Okay. Over a guy like a Roman Anthony or somebody else in that category?
Because I think he's going to deliver the most wins consistently in the series, yes.
Oh, wait. Were we just drafting it for the series, or was this a general thing? I may not have,
overall,
I may not have
like
understood the assignment, as they say.
Put it this way. I think Garrett Crochet would be the most impactful possible pitcher, arm, batter, et cetera, that you could draft. Aaron Judge goes first overall, no doubt, hands down, no brainer. But after that, I would take Crochet over Roman Anthony, who hasn't really been thrust too heavily into the fires of Red Sox-Yankees in the rivalry, and even Max Fried, who struggled a bit lately.
Yeah, if it's just for the series, then I would lean towards the pitcher, a guy like Crochet, because you can almost single-handedly win a game. I mean, you can single-handedly win a game. You can go out there and pitch 9 innings, get a complete game, or pitch 8 innings and then hand it over to Chapman, and you've won a baseball game in a key series. So in a series, if it were a bigger picture question and it were more about sort of longer term, I think I would go Roman Anthony over Crochet, because I'm scared to death of pitchers. Whereas Roman Anthony, I am preparing to root for Roman Anthony as a Boston Red Sox for next, 10, 12, 14 years and expect him to be a centerpiece player in this rivalry. 617-779-7937. How you feeling about the Sox? How you feeling about the matchup with the Yankees? Dan Ball, your hand is up. Yes.
Yes, it is, because we have trending coming up and we have a bit of breaking Red Sox news that we will break in our trending report.
Breaking news in trending. We'll react to it next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Our breaking news related to the Boston Red Sox. Tommy Castle, who covers the Worcester Red Sox, says the following on Twitter. Looks like Justinson Garcia, known as the password, is getting the call up to the Red Sox. He's getting congratulated by players and clearing out his locker. 2 minutes later, tweeted, can confirm that the password is on his way to New York to join the Boston Red Sox.
Let's go!
Breaking Red Sox news heading into a series of the season for the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox, meanwhile, open up a four-game series in the Bronx against the Yankees tonight. First pitch at 7:15. Lucas Giolito will start for Boston opposite Luis Heel. And you can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. MassMutual pregame show with Christian Arcanis tonight at 6:15. And Will Fleming and Lou Maloney have the call of tonight's game. One other roster move from today, the Red Sox designated infielder Abraham Toro for assignment. David Hamilton has been recalled from AAA. The Patriots play their final preseason game tonight at MetLife Stadium against the Giants. Kickoff is at 8 p.m. The game will be broadcast on Amazon Prime. Both teams are 2-0 to this point in the preseason. And new within the hour, Jordan Schultz reports that Patriots wide receiver Jalen Polk will miss the entire 2025 season due to a shoulder injury that requires surgery. The 2024 second-round pick saw multiple specialists, and surgery was determined to be the best course of action. And finally, 57-year-old Quentin Marcellus Brown, the father of Celtic star Jaylen Brown, has been arrested for attempted murder after allegedly stabbing someone in a dispute over a parking spot. The 20 pounds summer slim down with Awaken 180 weight loss. Drop 20 pounds before summer ends and cruise into fall lighter, healthier, and happier. Do what Andy, Ted, Scheim, and Bradfoe did. Find your results at awaken180weightloss.com. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. And now with this week's Woo Sox report, here is Nick Fitzy Stevens.
Well, you already heard about the good news regarding the password, everybody. The Red Sox are making significant minor league moves. The password on his way up to join the big league squad in the four-game series against the Yankees. Also lately with your Worcester Red Sox. Unfortunately, the bad news is that pitcher Cooper Criswell, as well as infielder Vaughn Grissom, will both be placed on the injured list. Criswell is dealing with right elbow inflammation, so no miraculous seven-inning starts in front of Andy Hart coming up in his future, while Grissom, who we've wondered will he come up to the major league team and play second base anytime soon, is dealing with right foot inflammation. But there's also good news in the land of Woo Sox. As a pitcher we have speculated upon coming to join the team as a late season power addition, Peyton Tolley, all 6'6", 250 mustachioed unit of him, had a great start recently. 5 innings, 3 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks, and 0 runs allowed. So more good news than not coming out of Worcester these days for your Boston Red Sox. This latest edition of the Woo Sox Report here on WEEI Afternoons is brought to you by the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Central Mass Out of the Darkness Walk to Fight Suicide. That takes place Saturday, September 27th at Polar Park in Worcester. More WEEI Afternoons, including our reaction to the breaking news, the password's headed to the big league squad, coming up after this.